Welcome to Gen X Women Are Sick of This Shit.
I'm Leslie Meyer.
I'm Megan Bennett.
Okay.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, Leslie. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm hot as balls.
Yes, like, it feels exactly like a hot ball.
Hot ball. Right, and like a giant sticky hot ball.
It is hot outside. It's June.
It's June.
It's June in Indiana.
I don't have any kind of actual numbers on this, but this is the hottest June in record. I'm going to say it. I'm not an expert.
Damn it.
But
part of the reason it's hot in June is because it's Pride Month.
Well, that's hot.
And that is
hot. That's H-A-W-T
More
hot.
Super psyched about that. But it's the Midwest and it is damp, moist. Some people don't like that word. It's damp, moist, humid, hot outside.
It's gross.
And it's a little even warm in our studios.
Yeah. So it's wet in the 90s here. Mm-hmm. And
it is.
So you compound June, sticky ball hot June. With hot flashes, and then it's just...
You're in one of the levels of hell that Dante probably just accidentally left out.
Didn't he, like, weren't there, like, 9? I'm pretty sure this is, like, level 15 or
Should
something.
Should be.
It's pretty bad.
Level 15. If Dante had been a woman, it would have been included.
Oh, hell yeah.
In the allegory.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
I'm not sure Dante would have lived into menopause based on...
Probably not. Whatever. Nor did many people. Yeah, you're probably right. But it's sweltering.
Yeah.
And you have the perfect wardrobe.
Oh, yeah. So I have fully embraced the caftan lifestyle.
The caftan life. That's a t-shirt.
Caftan life. Oh, I can make one of those.
Gen X, you're sick of your shit. Caftan life.
Caftan life. I have four of the type that I'm wearing right now that I bought my first one in St. Kitts a few years ago. And I just decided that summers are caftan summers and I don't care anymore.
And so you just have a wardrobe of them.
I do. I have four of these and I will continue to buy more.
I love it. And they're comfortable.
They're super comfortable.
It's the sundress of the 2020s.
I hope so.
Like, I remember my mom wearing, I don't know if this was a fashion thing. Like, they were probably sheath dresses or the equivalent of, like, kind of cotton, stripey, like, spaghetti strap things all the fucking time in the summertime.
Yeah.
That and Dr. Scholl's sandals.
Well, the caftan was a hot commodity in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
That was, like...
Absolutely.
The, you know, I mean, not maybe for... all people, but...
Well, the important people.
Yeah.
Like Mrs. Roper.
Oh, Mrs. Roper.
We were just talking
this
about
this. This is totally Mrs. Roper wear.
It is Mrs. Roper wear.
Yep. I love it.
Everybody should strive to be Mrs. Roper. In fact, we were talking about this earlier. There are these, like, Mrs. Roper romps?
Yep, Roper
walks,
romps. Mm-hmm.
Where they just... I don't know if it's all a bar crawl or if it's, like, a parade... of Mrs. Roper's.
But people
or what
wear
happens.
Caftans.
Yes.
And
amazing.
And red
wigs.
Curly wigs.
Yes.
And they, just get together and do
did
parades.
Did she drink martinis?
Oh, I hope
or
so.
Or did she have, I don't remember if that was a part of, we'll have to go back. And
yeah, now we gotta look. But you're right. I think you and me need to create.
Me
and
the
you.
The two of us together.
Just you and I.
Are going to have. Oh, look, Leg's already going to sleep.
We're going to do a Roper romp.
I think we should.
I have a caftan you can borrow if you don't have one.
I love it. Or I can, like, deep dive into.
We will find you.
We could get printed ones that say Gen X women are sick of this shit.
I wonder how we could do that.
We're going to find out. If we can do a logoed,
a branded caftan,
we will do that.
Hells yeah.
So we're going to do a meetup, maybe.
Yeah, I think
we should do a sponsored Mrs. Roper romp.
Yep, we're going to do it.
In Indianapolis.
So stay tuned. If you're in Indy or the surrounding area, we will
maybe like at the end of the summer.
Hell, yeah,
in
I think
August
so.
Or something.
And we'll find some cool bars to.
We could go walking up and down. With our handbags and our captains on.
And a martini glass.
Yes. Yes.
Or margarita or whatever.
Or whatever.
Whatever your jam is.
So we'll do that.
Mm-hmm. Coors Light. I don't care.
So where are we going today, Megan? You know how we start this show?
How do we start this
show?
We
bullshit.
We do.
Which we've been doing a little bit, but now we've really started the show. So we bullshit and we talk about the hot gossip of today.
Yep.
And one of our hot gossips of today is how hot, fucking hot it is. And we've already talked about that a bit.
Yes.
But the other gossip of today is really sad.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel like we are at, not that we don't lose people in the world anyway, but I feel like we're getting at that age where, you know, you just lose people and it's just sad. So we're starting to see some of our favorite actors and actresses and, you know, it's just celebs musicians. In general, the musicians just kind of like leave us and it's sad. So we lost Donald Sutherland this last week.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, I mean, if you think about it, he was kind of a staple in our lives. Ooh, for loud, sure.
Right. Snappy. Didn't mean to make that sound. I mean, our entire lifetime, he has obviously been alive and been an actor.
Right.
But in many things that were sort of culturally significant.
Yep.
For our entire lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, the last thing that we all remember him in is all the Hunger Games stuff.
So. Which I just rewatched all of those on the plane back from Ireland in the spring.
Fun. Cornelius Snow.
Yes.
Yeah, so. Creepy character, really great.
Absolutely.
And he did a brilliant job in that particular.
Mm-hmm. He was born in 1935.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. My earliest memory of him as an actor was Invasion of the Body Snatchers, which still to this day is a terrifying movie. Mm-hmm. But I remember that so, and I'm not entirely sure that it aged particularly well. It very much looks like the 70s.
Well.
But.
We survived.
Yeah.
The 70s. He was amazing.
He was amazing.
He was also in, he was a version of Pride and Prejudice that I never watched. But lots and lots of people have posted, like, a clip of that, like, as a, he was, like, a great film dad.
Right.
At the end of that.
Right, yeah. And
lots of people had feelings about him in that.
Mm-hmm. What's your big memory of him? What's the show?
Porky's. Honestly. So he was the professor. I'm sure all of this is wildly inappropriate.
It's Animal House.
Is it Animal House?
It's
okay,
Animal
thank
House.
You. I couldn't remember. I do remember Porky's, though. Different
just
we should not talk about
not enough
that right
who
now.
Was in it
Animal House thank you who's the professor
yeah Porky's will be a different episode
that'll be a different episode altogether okay so Animal House and he was the professor that was sleeping with a student which we just thought was totally normal and you see his bare naked booty at the refrigerator in like a very professory sweater is that right
he yeah and I'm over. Still amazed by how in the TV edit they managed to put pants on him.
What?
Yeah. If you watch the TV, if you, I mean, nowadays you would probably never see it because broadcast television is.
They're not going to play no. Animal House.
But back in the 80s, like I remember watching it they on television him. And I was watching it with my stepdad and he was like, how did they put pants on him?
They just like.
Okay. So here's a question. Well, two questions. One, did Donald Sutherland have a butt double?
No, I feel like he would do his own butt work.
Okay, so Donald Sutherland has his own butt work. Yeah. I may need to know this for a fact. And then my other question is, I would think in post it would be very hard to put pants on somebody.
At that point.
Did they just reshoot that scene with somebody else's?
I mean, probably what happened was they did two takes.
Huh.
Maybe.
Amazing.
Amazing. I love the fact that Donald Sutherland would have done his own butt work.
He's a man of integrity.
He's a professional.
He was. I mean, come on.
He's a professional. He can handle
it. I mean, his son would definitely do his own butt work.
I mean, we can't totally speak for Kiefer. Maybe.
I mean, maybe not.
We don't know.
As a woman, I hope he very much does his own butt work. That is all.
Donna, I just was giving this the Google to see if I could find out. I have not been able to find out yet, but somebody did say Donald Sutherland's butt has had a pretty solid film career.
Oh, he's got other work?
A-list ass work. That implies, I think,
that he did his own
butt work.
Okay. I just remember that episode of Friends where Joey had to do a he was a butt double. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh my God, it's awesome. It's great. And then he kept trying to like squeeze his butt cheeks a little too tight, and they had to keep cutting because he was making his butt do things that it shouldn't do. It's fantastic. It's like, this is not what it's supposed to look like. This is awesome. I think he lost that job because he couldn't.
You don't usually look so pursed.
Right. He was trying to make his butt act. I don't think the director wanted his butt to actually act. So
need to take about 20-30% off that butt acting.
Bring it down a little bit. That's a little too much. Yeah. Ooh. Hey, what are we sick of today?
We are sick of hot flashes.
A fucking men.
Or hot flushes. That's not bad. A fucking women.
A fucking, no. Just, yes.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, we are sick of hot flashes. We are sick of,
and it's something that comes up in the group a lot.
Yeah.
Like, how many posts a day, on average, do we see collectively coming in to be approved that are just people that are like, oh my gosh, is it normal for me to like be melting to the ground like this? Please, someone help me.
I mean, we see that all the time in the group, and everybody is, probably, I mean, we're all going through it.
5 to 10 times a day, there'll be a post about it. And if it's really busy in the group, I mean, we could see up to 20.
Easy. Yeah. And everybody is looking for relief, and everybody's looking for kind of that magic bullet that's going to cure them.
Absolutely.
Of this.
And they're looking for information, explanations, somebody help me, which is like shocking, right? Because in theory, females are 50% of the population.
You'd think we'd have it figured out.
So we've been talking about it, and we're going to keep talking about it, you know, posts in the group. And we try to be really thoughtful, I think, about that information, because we don't want to spread medical misinformation in the group.
Right.
And we don't want to scare people. It's hard enough to figure out on our own. So we have dug around a little bit, and we were looking at the North American Menopause Society.
Right.
The International Menopause Society, because people are always asking for like doctors. So we're just looking at like vetted resources.
Yep.
And lo and behold, there's like a menopause practitioner, like specialist locator in there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because if you're not getting answers from your doctor.
Yep.
And doctors aren't trained on this. Most of them. I'm lucky. My doctor is a DO, and she understands it and she listens to me. And so I can, when I go in and have a conversation with her and I say, I'm waking up in the middle of the night 47 times, you know, two of those times to go to the bathroom and the rest because I'm like on fire.
Sweating.
Yes. I'm physically dying. On fire. You know, she listens to me and she's like, yep. So here are some things we can do, you know? So I'm working with her. So she's listening to me, but a lot of people don't have that benefit. Yep. Like their doctors are just not trained in it, or they don't.
They kind of minimize it.
Right.
That's just something that happens.
Like, we're making that shit up.
That's just normal.
Right. And we're not.
And it is normal. So why isn't there information? And one of the reasons is because we have not paid attention to the medical needs of women.
That is true across the board.
Yep.
And always has been. And hopefully we are starting to. Right. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we're starting now. I hope that the next generation pushes even more and gets more answers and has more women who go into this field to help, you know, more women down the line.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a big deal.
And I think with the hot flash experience, there's so much information out there just in like digging through things there. You know, people are just like, well, try this, you know, try that. Fans. Ice.
Well, the fan thing just cracks me up. You and I were talking about this because, like, like a doctor's going to say, just take a fan with you wherever you go. So yeah. I just picture like a woman with a giant box fan.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, like
a battery powered like
freaking box fan plugged in. And she just carries it around with this giant cord.
No, I want like a giant kind of like pink, sort of very elegant silk. Can someone follow me? A feather fan at the same time.
Cleopatra, right?
Could that be like a medical expense? My fan. Fanner person that's gonna
does HSA pay for that?
Absolutely, they will. Yes, they're gonna pay for my fan attendant I'm walking through different spaces.
Take an ice cube. Put an ice cube on your wrist. Put an ice cube on your neck. You know, whatever. Yes, great little temporary fixes. Sure. But
it's impacted by so many things. Like how do we talk about this? And let me back up a little bit. Like, you can get on the internet and find lots of people, and there is just as much misinformation. So we try
and
predatory information. Oh my gosh, so many people will sell you something to solve this thing because we don't have enough concrete information.
Right.
We're so desperately looking for stuff.
And they're going to market it as the fix or this, you know, this fixed one person. So it's going to work for everybody.
For $150 or $300
a month or a week or whatever.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it just, A, shouldn't be that way.
Nope.
And B, we know the supplement market is wildly unregulated and there's no way of knowing what's in that stuff.
Right.
So be really thoughtful and careful with your body. So I reference personally, like my own research on this journey, Dr. Jen Gunter. I think she is Canadian. She's a Canadian board certified OBGYN. I think she's double board certified. She may also be board certified in the United States. I don't have all the facts in front of me right now. But she has a book called The Menopause Manifesto that I actually have on my lap that I have read. And my own journey with menopause, we won't go too deep about this. But I think what happened and why I didn't really, well, first, fun fact, we actually start menopausal symptoms 10 years before we go into menopause. Average age of menopause is like 50 to 52 in the United States.
And no one ever tells you that.
Not in your 40s.
Like, how would you know?
Or in your 30s. So as early as 35, you're having major hormonal changes that are impacting.
You can't find your keys.
Weight gain.
Your
memory,
hair's falling out.
Hot flashes. Absolutely.
Oh, God.
And no, and
you think
so
you're crazy.
Part of being a woman and having medical care should be a complete conversation.
You know,
around this age, it's possible that these things are going to start. And there's so many hormone tests, and those are only useful for the second that they are taken in, right? Yeah. Like, there's no, like, broad panel that's going
right,
to show us.
Right, right. No, because it changes from day to day, right?
Like moment your, to moment.
Yeah, your
meal
your
to meal.
Hormones are going to fluctuate all over the place.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sick of it.
Yeah, I am pretty sick of it. So we'll talk about it quite a bit, but we were kind of thinking about like, well, what do we do to relieve this in this moment besides fans?
And
cold water.
Cold water, ice cubes.
Some of the practical things is like what you eat, literally. Mm-hmm. If you eat spicy food, it's going to be hot. If you're drinking alcohol, you're going to get even hotter. Anxiety effects, hot flashes, depression. I mean, those things can go hand in hand. That's where it was. That's the loop. I'm back. I think that for me, my own experience with this, I was really going through menopause, like in 2020, like big time, major hot flashes, total confusion. But we were also going through a pandemic.
Oh, that's great.
And so I just didn't. Things are hard and weird.
Yeah.
Cool. And so I wasn't super clear. Like, what's happening? Like, is it just the fact that I've suddenly had to pull my whole career back into my house and do all of my work from home and pivot, and I'm stressed and I'm anxious and like we're trying to figure out, are
and
we all
wonder,
gonna be okay?
You know, did that stress like push you into that early?
Even more
maybe
rapidly.
Right. Yeah.
Like with an intensity. So it's very hard to discern. Wasn't going to get great medical care at that point either, right? And didn't even know the questions to ask.
Right.
So hopefully part of our journey is that we can at least help suss out the questions to ask and maybe provide a couple of reliable, vetted.
Good resources. Yeah.
National and international resources where people can go and find their own care. But you deserve care.
You absolutely, and you have to advocate for yourself. And that's the hard part. We as women sometimes forget about that because we're so busy thinking about everybody else.
Yep.
And in, right now in this point of our lives, we've got our kids, mm-hmm. trying to get them out the door, taking care of our parents, still have careers. Mm-hmm. Something falls off, yep. right? It always falls off. And it seems like it always has to be us.
Yep.
And you can't let that happen. You've got to take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
And you have to advocate for yourself. And if something feels off and a doctor is not answering your questions,
find another one.
Find another doctor.
And it's frustrating and hard.
It's so hard.
I coach and advocate with and for women to continue to ask questions and push hard in this process. Mm-hmm. And you're probably going to get no like 15 times, and yep. that's okay. We're really serious about this.
We are. It's I noticed very serious
we have not
today.
Cracked.
No, not one damn joke.
But we will get there. We're going to crack jokes.
I hope so. Well, because this whole thing is fucking ridiculous, too.
It is.
So it is it funny. Is I mean, in some ways. So I think we're going to talk about 5 minutes of fame, right?
We are. It's one of our favorite segments.
I love this. So this is when we either talk about dumb shit that happened to us or yes. that we made happen.
Yes, right? If either we went, or. Could be.
And or talking about stories that people in the Gen X Women Are Sick of Your Shit Facebook group send yep. to us.
Yes.
And so I posted a post, I don't know, a couple weeks ago about the band Orleans. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that band?
No, but I know the image that you're talking about. What was one of their, like, why would I have known them? What did they sing?
So
I mean, that's a sexy little,
isn't that great?
If we can get this, we'll try to share this picture somehow.
Maybe. Yeah, that's got to go in the show
you
notes.
You can put a link to it in the show notes or something. It's impressive. It was basically like, here's my interpretation.
Okay.
We have no budget. So y'all just gotta be naked
and look awkwardly at each other.
At each other. And this is the 70s, right? Like the band is
it's
from the 70s.
Very 70s.
So it's sort of like the lanky 70s dude.
With yeah, smatterings of chest hair.
Frankly, it looks it, like
actually
a lot
it's
of
fairly hairy
today too. They are hairy. I mean, body hair, who cares?
So they performed at Woodstock.
Amazing.
The song that you will probably recognize is Dance With Me. I want to be your partner.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Oh, my God. I'm not
definitely
singer.
More than three notes, but I got there. Yes, I know that song.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome with my dulcet sounds.
Yes.
The beautiful dulcet sounds of my non-singing voice.
You did a great job.
My high school choir teacher is rolling over in her grave.
This is all about taking
risks. I guess we'll find out if it was good enough, because if it was, we'll probably get charged.
But it wasn't that long. It wasn't more than 30 seconds.
That's right. Please
does it have to be more than 30?
Please don't charge
20?
Me.
When do they come searching for us? We don't care. All the other music we use here is public domain.
Right. And if you really are paying to listen to me sing that song, then you've got way more money that you need to burn.
Yeah, absolutely. Come and sponsor us.
Right,
please.
So anyway, it's very hairy, this album cover. But every time, I'm a huge yacht rock person. I have it in my car all the time. And on satellite radio, those, you know, you get the album covers pop up, right?
Yes.
So I'm driving along and this album cover pops up and it just cracks me up. Every time.
You're like, hey there, gents.
I'm like, well.
What's happening?
There's five dark-haired, hairy men that are clearly buck naked on my radio. Anyway.
Let's get oiled up and go to the beach.
So they're awkwardly looking at each other in this particular album cover. It just cracks me up. So anyway, I posted that. And there was a story that came through.
Oh, yes.
That somebody.
There's a reason we're talking about this band.
And this particular album cover. So, Leslie, you want to read the story that we got?
Oh, yes. Okay, so this story is fabulous. Submitted by, I'm not going to read their full name, but Robin P. Robin, we will, I don't know.
Just celebrate you.
We will celebrate
you.
We'll
lift you up here.
We will tag you in some comment somewhere so that you know that your story is being shared today. So Robin wrote in and said that she grew up in Woodstock, New York. There's a couple of little famous things in here, her little brushes with fame. And Robert Downey Jr. was her boyfriend in sixth grade.
I love it.
Which I is love it. So cool because we have childhoods before we get famous.
Yes.
And we're just hanging out.
I think we need more stories holding about hands. This relationship, too.
I know. We had a recording studio in town, and that's how I met my ex-husband, who was in a band at the time. She goes on to say she met tons of musicians this way, and the band Orleans was local. So local to Woodstock, New York. She met all of them in the mid to late 80s and even dated Larry Hoppin briefly.
I love it.
Which is, this is so rich. She kind of needs to maybe come on and tell us this in real life. Way more to my stories, including Bon Jovi playing in town and the drummer staying at our house.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we're
Robin P. We're going to track you down. She did give permission for us to share that and to share her name. But the fact that there was an Orleans connection in our group.
Yep. So good.
Is not surprising, A.
Right. Because not surprising.
Half a million people.
Right.
And B, this story is freaking delightful.
It's delightful.
So thanks so much, Robin, for sharing that.
Thank you.
It's really good.
What was the next 5 minutes of fame story?
Our second 5 minutes of fame story also comes from an audience member. We're not using our stories today.
Right.
Someone, an audience member, a group member, I guess that's our audience as well.
Yep.
And she sent in a story. This comes from Cindy K. We're not using last names, but she did give permission for us to use her name. And she is a member of our Facebook group. We're super excited to see that. And her story begins, 5 minutes of fame. Okay, here it is.
Here it is.
Ready? My identical twin sister and I, born 1970, were the little girls in the background in The Godfather 2. They were born and raised in Los Angeles in San Fernando Valley. Like totally.
That's so cool.
Totally. Gag me with a spoon. So if they were born in 1970, The Godfather was made in 1972. Godfather 2 was made in 1974.
So they would have been 4 years old.
4 years old in the background of this film that has had a massive legacy.
Yes.
Continues to be watched. The whole trilogy.
Yep. I'm not the biggest Godfather fan in the world. Truth, I've seen them.
Yes.
And I'm not sure that we're the audience.
Typically, not, right? It was very, I mean, the films are not set in the 70s. I'm going to say things that probably aren't true, but it is very of the 70s.
Yes.
Like in costume and design and all of the things.
Yes. Oh, it's very, yeah, it feels that way.
Fantastic.
But I've heard that most people feel that it is the example of a sequel being better than the first movie, which is rare.
Yeah,
you don't have
sure.
that very often.
Absolutely.
So, but I think Godfather 2 was
good, like, little tidbit.
Genuinely, and again, not an expert here.
Nope, but, definitely
but
not
this
an
is just
expert.
Hearsay that I've heard that.
This is hearsay. This is not the expert, not an expert segment.
Right.
However, that is a superpower we always have.
It's a theme that runs through this.
Yeah, we just talk about shit like we know what we're talking about, and it sounds pretty smart. And it always starts with like a little grain of truth.
Yeah.
You know.
You know what? Hey, producer Tim, would you say that The Godfather 2 was a better movie or more widely adored than the first?
Those are two options. You can pick one.
Oh.
He doesn't want to go down in audio.
Right. He doesn't want to put it on tape.
You never know when you do something as a tiny child if it's going to have staying power. Who knew? Her parents were probably like, yeah, we'll put the girls in the background of this film.
I mean, that is cinematic history.
It is.
You know, some of these films that will go away and we, mm-hmm. you know, are made and they're kind of, they're not toss away films, but they're stuff that, you know,
yeah.
TCM is not going to spend
right
thousands Absolutely. Of thousands of dollars to preserve film, but they will for that movie.
Yeah. And so what did Cindy and her twin sister do? They got to hang out on set in the background of The Godfather 2.
So thank you for sharing that story. That's
Absolutely. Amazing. And we hope that like more people send in their 5 minutes of fame stories because they are magnificent and they shouldn't just be little tidbits in your own mind.
No, share like, it.
This
share
is
it.
A living history document. Who knows if anybody's going to listen to this podcast 50 years from now, but if they do.
Yep.
All of this we is going to be preserved. So yeah, we definitely want to know. You know who doesn't get hot flashes?
Who doesn't get hot flashes? What, men?
Superheroes.
That's right. I can't imagine that they would.
I would never get a hot flash. I would just be hot in a flash.
So I think that if you have superpowers, hopefully the superpower is something like not having hot flashes.
Controlling your hormones.
That's kind of awesome.
Well, so this kind of works, I think, because one of my favorite superheroes from the 70s is the Mighty Isis.
She was badass.
She was a badass. And the Mighty Isis, her powers were like communicating with animals and getting them to do what she needed to do.
Right. Okay.
And controlling the elements. And I think like the environment, like maybe could she control like boulders and stuff? I can't remember. I'm trying to remember this because I watched it not too long ago.
I mean, if she's controlling the elements and she's controlling wind. So yes. On the wings of the Zephyr.
That's really.
They fan
so that you are not hot.
I am not hot.
Anymore. But she was incredibly hot.
Oh, yeah, she was hot.
Gorgeous.
Absolutely
human
beautiful.
Being.
Yeah. What was the actress?
Joanna Cameron.
Okay.
Playing Andrea Thomas, teacher.
Andrea Thomas, teacher. Excellent.
Who then went out on an archaeological dig, like you do, with her little brush. And she found a lovely little box that sort of screamed, "Something magical is in this box. Open it up."
Which later in filmatic history, you never should do. Like the mummy, right? You don't touch that stuff.
We all know that.
Bobby Brady and the damn tiki idol.
Don't open the door. Get a flashlight. And according to every horror movie from the 70s and 80s, don't have sex at sleepaway camp.
No.
Because you're going to die.
You're going to die. So just don't do those things. But apparently this young
beautiful teacher archaeologist was like, that's a pretty box.
Heeded zero all the warnings.
All of the warnings. And opened it up, found a gorge necklace.
Well, okay. There's not a woman alive who wouldn't take that necklace and be like, I'm going to wear that
necklace.
This
is pretty. And evidently, were they related? It's been so long. We'll get into this in just a minute, though. Like, the owner of the amulet and teacher Andrea Thomas, I think there's some sort of, like, cosmic connection between the two of them. But the reason we're talking about this today, A, it's because it's probably my more favorite than Wonder Woman.
Wow, that's saying something, because you are a huge Wonder Woman fan.
Because of, I think it's the sort of, like, child memory that I have of watching the show.
Okay.
And because of her affinity with animals, which like totally resonated with me as a young person. Okay. I think so. And it's important because we had this conversation in the Facebook group about it that you so lovingly posted the other day.
And yeah, I knew that this was a big thing for you.
Near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
And because we grew up in this generation of like, even though we can kind of look back now and see that like there was a lot of hypersexualization of women, all the things.
Linda Carter in her super hard plastic or whatever it was.
Like corset.
Breastplate thing.
And hot pants. Uh-huh. I mean, every costume. And yet, like as a child, when these were coming out, that was not in my awareness.
Nope.
And these were important, powerful leading women.
Yeah.
This, doing really cool things.
Right. So it makes you wonder, because we saw, and we could talk about all of the superheroes that, you know, we were brought up around, but mm-hmm. what watching that on TV, did that make us kind of who we are now? You know, like the, yes. just generally, not everybody in our generation, you know,
of course,
but
yeah, never everybody
right,
in
right.
all things.
But it feels like Gen X women tend to have that, like an extra strength or an extra, their own superpower, right? Of,
yes.
Of just.
Extra spicy sass.
Yeah. Yeah. So did that come because we were watching things like. Mm-hmm. Isis and mm-hmm. Wonder Woman.
Because we were seeing ourselves represented. Mm-hmm. Representation freaking matters.
Yeah, it does.
We all deserve to be visible
mm-hmm.
in film, TV, music.
All the places. Books, yeah, for sure.
All people.
So
it's so important.
Isis was your, was that the first, was that your first superhero?
That's a great question.
If you look back.
Probably yes, because Isis aired before Wonder Woman, but I would have watched them probably all, that's not necessarily true, in syndication, because these were airing like in 75, Isis was 75 to 76.
Okay.
So I was like two.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably did, my core memories are of it in syndication, but I was probably like four or five, six. I mean, like it aired and then
right.
it was still available to be watched. And then Wonder Woman emerged. And then one of your favorites, or one that has been seared in your memory. Hilarious.
Yeah. So mine, Electra Woman and Dinah Girl.
Yes.
So same kind of thing. Like, and much, if it's possible to be more campy, and I think it is, then Electra Woman and Dinah Girl is a little more campy than even, you know, Isis or Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. So it was Sid and Marty Krofft again.
Yes,
like the whole.
Yes.
And raised with Land of the Lost and H.R. Puffin yep. stuff and all the, you know, Sid and Marty Krofft stuff. So the Electra Woman and Dinah Girl was part of that Sid and Marty Krofft world.
Mm-hmm.
And. With the most just badass mm-hmm. theme song you can
yes,
imagine.
Yes.
So
that we would like to
go
be
watch
able
that.
To play for you, but we can't.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Because
I really
it
wish
would
we could.
Cost money.
Yes, we will be.
But guess what? Some of the lyrics are Electra Woman and Dinah Girl, unsurprisingly. That gets sung in the theme song.
Yes, sadly. Otherwise, we probably could get away with it.
We could
get away with it. Yeah, but it's fantastic. They worked for a magazine, and then they, anyway, go.
We just rewatched the intro. It had a little bit of like Charlie's Angels vibes.
Yes,
like
great hair,
running,
fantastic 70s outfits.
Yep.
Yeah, but same kind of thing, you know, over sexualization. They are definitely like in their little hot pants and their,
absolutely,
you know, for sure.
But again, like as a girl in that time period, as a female in that time period, I, as a young person, was
didn't
not
see it. Yeah.
Seeing that. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those moments where we kind of have to hold like the both and
mm-hmm.
of things that come from our generation. Like there are both parts that we would find problematic. Probably wouldn't be done in exactly the same way today, and yet powerfully influential.
Do you think we could watch TV today and watch a woman like Isis running in those high heel boots and like and be like, oh, I could do that. Like, yeah, that's totally reasonable.
So I had my child memory of this show and just like how powerful and influential it was in my life and like what a badass she was as a superhero. And then Gen X producer Tim got me the set for my birthday one year. So I have
Sweet.
All of them on DVD. And in the rewatch, because this was a few years ago that we were rewatching these, she effectively does nothing like physical in the show. And you can tell why. Like, okay, so she totally changes her whole vibe. Arguably, the teacher outfit is way more functional for doing superhero shit. Like, she could actually go out and do archaeological digs. Like, she has practical shoes.
Sit
she
down.
Could run.
She could sit down.
Climb fences. She could sit. She could do all drive of the things that you would need to be able to do. But when she becomes ISIS, she has to put on this very short skirt and very tall heeled boots. And I'm sure, like, the chest piece, like, in her, like, we have the computers here, yes, and we can look on the internet. Yep. Like, I'm sure lots of parts of that costume didn't really, like, bend well, you know? And then
she's going to chase down the bad guys in that outfit.
In rescuing, like, the most athletic thing that she does, or the most superhero thing she does, is she sort of, like, traipses through in and out of the scenes, right? She jogs in these impossible shoes, and then she just controls the world. So really, the superheroes are like the tigers that magically show up in the middle of California, you know, or the eagles that she controls to be able to see things, or the wind, right, or the rain, or the storms, or whatever. Like, those are the things that save people, but she does have the power to control the elements and to communicate with animals.
Well, if you had that power, you wouldn't need to have sensible clothes.
Because why would you want to fuck up your hair or your nails? I mean, she looks fucking immaculate. So gorgeous. So it's kind of, I think there's like an evolution then. And I'm curious, like, behind the scenes, like, this show was being filmed not concurrently with Wonder Woman. I think ISIS actually was filmed first, and then Wonder Woman was coming into existence. Mm-hmm. So at any point, did somebody from the set of ISIS, or after they'd watched ISIS, say, you know what we need to do with Wonder Woman? She really needs to be able to, like,
actually do things
with her own hand.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's part of the comics. I mean, the stories are fundamentally different, but they were like, oh yeah, this is totally.
She actually needs to be able to move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though we're going to put her in, like, itty bitty blue bikinis. That's cool, though.
and very tall boots. Yeah, but yeah.
And how did that costume fit? I mean,
it was painted on. I mean, my goodness.
Absolutely. Like, so could she functionally move in that way?
Yeah, I don't know.
Another important thing that came out of the Wonder Woman cartoon. What? I don't know if it was for ISIS. Underoos. Do you remember that? Did you ever dress up like these superheroes?
Of course.
Okay.
Yes. And I'm trying to remember. It's one of those things that you, I know I had underoos. I don't remember what the character was. Like, was it Wonder Woman? Was it Batgirl?
Mm-hmm.
Could have been Batgirl.
Batgirl was important because it had a bra top. It was a bralette.
Okay.
Top.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman was a tank top.
It was a tank top.
I had
feel
both.
Like, I had Wonder Woman then. Mm-hmm. Maybe? Yeah, I honestly don't remember. This is a question for my mom.
And they were printed in satiny, but, like, costumes. Underoos, yeah, that's what it's called. My brother had, like, Superman. And I know because there's a Polaroid somewhere of us,
so
small
awesome.
Children, with tall red socks.
I know they still exist. I know they are out there somewhere because I've seen, you know, you can get adult underoos or whatever. They're not by Underoo brand or whatever, but they're, you know, you could find them.
Absolutely.
But it feels like it's something that just sort of has dropped off. And it would be, I mean, now in the world of the superheroes that we have, they're everywhere. You can have a bajillion different types of underoos.
Of underoos.
Yeah.
It would be so great.
So Underoo Corporation, if you were out there listening, we feel
underoos
like this
for
is
adults.
This, like, is an opportunity.
Yes, absolutely.
A very lucrative business opportunity.
I remember the Batgirl one just because it was a bralette and I was little and I knew that there was something important about wearing something on top of your body, but not why. You know, like, because it's like bikini.
Not
it was
lucky.
Just like, but it didn't make any sense to me as to why. I just knew that it was like cool because your stomach was showing or something like that.
Well, and don't you think it's interesting if you think about the superheroes from the 70s, like we in 70s and 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had an opportunity to have these female focused superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it feels like maybe to a degree that we don't have or, you know, didn't have later on. So, like, late 80s, 90s, you know, and even up until like the Marvel world kind of took over, they didn't really focus on the women as much for a long time. I mean, of course, Buffy. There's Captain Marvel and there's
When Buffy came out, I was not really a big TV watcher at that point, but I am aware of it, like in terms of history. And I would argue,
oh god, Buffy was great. Superhero. Yeah, so I watched the show in the 90s. My husband, boyfriend at the time, husband and I watched Buffy all the time.
Okay.
But I remember the movie maybe even better. I loved the movie. And again, Donald Sutherland, right?
Yes.
So first of all, you had Donald Sutherland as the Watcher. And he was fantastic, but the one of the greatest cinematic movie pieces of all time in my mind is Pee-wee Herman. So Paul Reubens is in that movie as a vampire, and slays him, and his death scene is epic and hilarious, and it just goes on and
this resonates. And how long did it take?
Mind, it's like a 15-minute scene. I'm sure it's not that long.
It's Shakespearean.
It's very epic. But oh my god, it's so good.
So we were the ISIS conversation in the group. We're talking about this. So this actually got a ton of feedback. Oh, I'm so hesitant to move things around. I think there were like 77 comments on this. And I had a lovely chat with someone named Pam in the group. And we were talking about the show. And she let me know that like the actress who had played ISIS was fired from the show. It wasn't that the show ended naturally. That she had been fired from the show because at some point in her previous career, she had done some like nudie pictures somewhere. I don't know if it was Playboy or whatever. I have no idea. But evidently that information came to light, and some naughty pictures. That's what this person said. It was amazing. And the mom squad of the time, this was the language that the woman I was chatting with in the group was using, found out and pressured the studios, and they fired her, which is ridiculous.
So she was canceled.
Essentially, at the time, in a way that like really probably only hurt those of us who were really invested in the show.
But because it's not like you were going to learn that she, you know, took
the internet didn't even exist then. Yeah. Like, we had to use a rotary phone to make a phone call.
Right.
I had to sit down at the same time when the show was on to watch the show.
That's right. Like, yeah, you did.
Couldn't pull it up.
Get up and turn your own TV channel.
Or Google. Yeah. Right. Couldn't Google. Definitely in the 70s had to turn your own TV channel. Couldn't Google her.
No.
Couldn't find out anything.
Nobody would ever know that. Would not have cared.
Absolutely not. So ridiculous. So you can kind of see like sort of, not even sort of, a massive double standard in that. Right. Sears is a very powerful character.
Getting shut down.
So sorry. And notwithstanding the fact that many of the scripts in the Mighty ISIS series sort of read like they could also translate to porn. They could. I mean, you just change out a few things, and it's like, so who's really, what are we really talking about here? She didn't write the show.
No. So, wow.
I know.
Like,
there you go.
Not a whole lot of difference.
So we had ISIS, Wonder Woman, Linda Carter, the real deal.
Yeah. She was great. She was great.
Diana Girl and
Electra Woman and
Diana Electra Girl. Woman. Yeah. Totally gone from my brain. So those are in the 70s. And then we move into the 80s.
Yeah.
Are there superhero shows in the 80s?
So the only one that really comes to mind, and I'm probably blanking, there had to be, but the only one that comes to mind is The Greatest American Hero, which obviously not a woman show.
No, but he did have a cute curly mop of hair.
He did. It was really fun. I loved that show.
Gen X producer Tim, how do you feel about The Greatest American Hero?
I would say that's the one that probably stuck out to me the most. I mean, you know, coming up, we all were also subjected to and got to watch, not just subjected to.
Subjected.
But like the 1960s Batman series.
For sure.
You know.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which, epic and, you know, totally seared in your brain, but clearly not of our time.
Right.
You know, you could
watch. Fully clothed.
Well, I mean, you could watch fully it clothed. And right. very quickly realize that this is not late 70s, early 80s at all.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So, but then The Greatest American Hero comes along, which is a great premise of what happens when aliens come and bestow this suit, this
magic
suit on you to be a superhero. And the first thing you do is you start reading the instruction manual, is you shrink down to tiny size, and then you have to like hurry up and grow back up, and the ants are coming at you and all this. And he does go back to normal size, but the instruction manual is still microscopic and he can't find it.
Yep.
Hilarious.
So much of the premise is he has this suit that is gives him all these powers, but he has no idea how it works.
Hysterical.
I don't remember that at all. That's great.
And there are episodes where the aliens come back and give him like try to help him and give him another set of instructions, and he loses it again. Like,
well, because I do remember the whole, like, in the whole show, he's just sort of this bumbling, you know, he just, he can't fly right, and it's always crooked, and yeah, he's tripping over himself a lot. We know the theme song, like, yeah.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Well, and what's funny is, in so much of these shows, like, if they go into the third season, and you can kind of tell, it's like, oh, your budget got cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
You know, one thing is he got a haircut in the third season.
That seems like a poor choice.
And it was fine. I mean, he looked fine, but they didn't bother going and refilming any new, like, special effect shots. So suddenly he had shorter hair, and then he went to fly, and the mop's back.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you're like,
and they're no, that's fine.
It's a fantastic superhero power to grow your hair back.
Right. But only while you're flying.
Only when you're flying. Well, because you want your locks to kind of like blow in the breeze.
Right. And didn't we have like Shazam? Wasn't that another one?
I was like, we should mention, because I mean, Shazam stood on his own, but the Isis Shazam crossovers were a big deal.
Okay.
You know, so there were crossover episodes for that. Who else was a live action superhero, like male superhero show? Were there?
Well, I mean, at that time.
In the 70s.
Yeah, at that time, Shazam or Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Back then, he was the big one.
The Hulk.
The Incredible Hulk.
I just pulled up YouTube. There's something called Misfits of Science from the 80s.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound great.
So I'm going to need to know more about that.
That is more like, that's more akin to, let's say you wanted to make a teenage X-Men kind of a show.
Okay.
But didn't have the rights to any of that.
Can I tell you that I just saw that Courtney Cox was in that?
Well, I'm sure. Courtney Cox has been bouncing around for a while working.
That is fantastic.
So the 70s, there's also Bionic Woman.
Yep.
Let us
know. Oh,
$1 Million Man.
My goodness.
The $6 Million Man.
$6 Million Man.
Bionic Woman and $6 Million Man.
There was a live action Spider-Man?
Yeah.
We'll go back to that. We should go.
Yeah.
Bionic and the $6 Million Man. They were together back to back. Like when they aired.
Well, so I'm pretty sure that $6 Million Man started first and then the Bionic Woman came afterwards.
Okay.
And yes, at one point, I think because they did crossovers and stuff too.
Absolutely. I mean, you're both robots.
Those toys are seared into my memory forever because I had the Bionic Woman's, the doll.
Uh huh.
And you could peer through the back of her head and look through or was it his? I can't remember. You could look through the eye. And it was magnified. And then they had like little spots on their on their arms.
Yes.
That you could peel back the skin. Kind of gross.
Well, yeah,
looking about it now. Mm-hmm. And like there were like a little metal panel of all of the wires.
Oh,
and,
yeah. So you could see all the bits.
You could see all the parts that had been replaced.
How you reconstructed.
God, I loved
that. We have
show.
Wanted to be like biomechanical for decades.
Right.
Like, it's please. We have wanted. So this is kind of interesting because, like, as we talked about earlier, you know, hitting midlife and menopause and the things that we do to try to learn to take
right.
care of ourselves
mm-hmm.
to, like, be stronger, better, faster.
Right.
Or just maintain all of that. Like, those themes through that, those shows and themes of, like, women having power
mm-hmm.
through those shows
mm-hmm.
are pivotal and a big impact, I think, on our generation.
Absolutely.
If you weren't really exposed to those shows, I'd be super curious, like, other ways that we got messages around, like, empowerment.
Yeah.
Because technically, until the 70s, as a female person, you could not have a checking account with your own name
That's
on
correct.
It. That's
correct.
I think it was, like,
76, I think.
That's a great question.
We actually
you could
had
not
that
get
conversation.
Alone.
Yep, right. We had that conversation in the group at one point a
oh,
few
you did.
Months
okay.
ago. Yeah, because I think it was a celebration of like the 74. Whatever 74. Mm-hmm. So the anniversary of it.
Equal Credit Opportunity Act.
Yep.
Women were granted in the US were granted the right to open a bank account on their own. So I was 1 year old.
Yeah.
So when my mother was pregnant with me, when all of our mothers were pregnant with us, they did not have the right to have a checking account
yeah.
on their own.
Right. And you had to prove or, you know, mm-hmm. basically plead your case if you were single or,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever, mm-hmm. and wanted to buy a house.
Yep.
Or wanted
that
to, you know, yeah, buy a car or
mm-hmm.
anything. You had to have
mm-hmm.
extra special, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
all the things
crazy.
I remember my we're going on a long topic, but this is part of like the expert, not an expert situation that our life sort of informs our expertise. My grandmother telling me, because she was a single mother raising two children, she had her mother and one of her sisters with her. She had to go before the bank board to get a loan for her house. She had a job, she had an
yep.
income, she had a great
yep.
job. And it didn't quite, like, they wouldn't quite lend her enough. She told me a story about having to shame the members of the bank board, who were all men. It was a small town. One of them was also the barber who cut her son's hair. And so she pulled that card and called him out and said, "You cut Philip's hair, blah, 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 blah." And so she used all of her insider information
in order to do
and
it.
Stared these dudes down to get the money. And they still didn't give her enough. So the woman that she bought the house from gave her basically like a personal loan on the side. So she paid two payments to the bank and then to this woman on the side to buy the house that she lived in for over 50 years.
Yeah, I don't think that ISIS would stand for that.
Hell no.
She put on that fancy ass necklace. And
yes. Wonder Woman would take that lasso of truth.
Yes.
And lasso that bank board and stuff them in the vault.
Get herself
and be
a,
like, we're this house. This
get
is ours.
A plane that's not
we're
invisible.
All living here. So there is definitely like a get her done
right.
attitude that I think that we all, many of us, I don't want to say we all, hold that comes up in the group a lot.
Yeah. We do it ourselves because, yeah, and because we have to in some cases.
Absolutely.
But also because that may be something that is just sort of seared into our brains
yes.
over, you know, through our childhood and through our adolescence. And knowing that we just have to make it work and do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get it done.
Which is what we're doing now.
That's right. High five.
Hey, Leslie.
Hey, Megan.
Hey. So how do people find us if they want to find us?
I am so glad you asked. They can visit us at the original Gen X Women Are Sick of Your Shit Facebook group, which is a private Facebook group that is moderated. You do have to ask questions to get into the group. Give us real answers. We read every single one.
Make us laugh.
Love to have you be part of the community there.
Absolutely.
We also have a Facebook page for the pod.
We do.
Gen X Women Are Sick of this shit.
That's right.
I don't know what we're going to do on there yet. Probably just general show announcements, information that is integrated with our Instagram, of course.
Yep.
I feel like I'm really over-explaining social media to people, but that's okay. It's okay. Because I am a woman of a certain age, and I feel like I have...
Some shit needs explained.
It does.
That's just it.
And they can also find this... our collective shit at genxwomenpod.com, where you can sign up for our email list.
You can purchase merch if you wish. We have a whole bunch of merch that is right now at an Etsy store, and we'll be moving and onto our website.
And you can share your stories with us. If you would like to be featured on the Gen X Women Are Sick of This Shit pod, please send us your story. We always need stories about 5 minutes of fame. What was your 5 minutes of fame as a child of the 70s or 80s?
Love it.
We would also love to know what you want to hear about. So important topics, the things that you are sick of right now. And we are looking for sponsorships.
Yep, sponsors, collaborations. If you are interested in working with us, then reach out that way too.
Good job.
Hey, you too.
That was really nice.
Yeah, you did a great job. Smooth. Good job, you.
I know. Yeah, yes.
Yeah.